What's happening, everyone? Welcome to the 10th episode of the Secure D podcast. My name's Matt. I am Secure D, and today my guest is Paul Newen. We recorded this earlier in the week, and it is a hella fun episode. We could have gone on for hours, but heaps of laughs, a little bit of hate, and a complete and utter total disregard for the F-bomb rule from about 20 minutes in. People had given us a bit of feedback that the last podcast, what we were aiming for with the last, 30-minute sort of limit was a bit short, so we've pushed this one out to an hour. But like I said, with Paul and I sort of going back quite a while and having a ton of interests other than just shoes in common, like, we could have done hours. So I'd say it's pretty safe bet that Paul will be a guest again. This was a heap of fun. We talk about a whole bunch of things, including his passion for Air Force Ones, a Honda scheme or BAPE fakes, just heaps of fun stuff. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I've got some exciting guests lined up in the future too, so there's that. And then if you guys have any topics you want to suggest, please let me know on Twitter with the hashtag SecureD Podcast, and we'll shout you out in the next episode. Didn't get a user topic in this week, pretty much because we started and the next thing you knew, like, we looked at the time, we were at an hour. So we'll get one in next week for sure, or next fortnight for sure. So hope you guys enjoy this episode, and make sure to subscribe on iTunes so I can keep doing this. Cheers. Thanks, guys. Captain Paul, thanks for doing the podcast, dude.
Hey, Matty.
Yeah, so basically this has been a much requested guest. And a friend of ours, Andrew, said to me today that basically he talked to you and you just said to him, remember you asked for this. And I think it's like the greatest title for an episode ever. Like, I'm not going to put anything in there about what we're talking about. The title of this episode is like Secure D Podcast. I think it's 9 or 10. Remember you asked for this. That's it.
Sounds good to me.
So we're going to talk about a bunch of things, which I probably covered in the intro, but I just want to kick it off with, I know you're a bit of a heavy roller when it comes to pickups, and I know you got a few things lately. So any highlights the last couple of weeks?
Well, first off, the Sneaker Freaker Cushwhackers.
Yeah, that's mine as well. Yeah.
And now that I just heard that there's only 600 pairs.
Yeah, see, I had no idea about that. Like, I just was lucky to be hooked up by our friends at Sneaker Freaker.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's a surprise to me. I thought there would have been thousands.
Yeah, and 600 pairs is not going to survive the bot onslaught.
No, 600 pairs is... I genuinely did not think this would be a shoe that went up super up in value. Like, the Melvins didn't, I was like, all right, well, maybe I'll pass and get it later. And now it's probably going to be a $600-$700 shoe.
But the Melvins was a yellow.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't super nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not terrible, but it was like not my favorite Sneaker Freaker collab. I mean, it's still a nice shoe, but yeah, these are, all the color, like the three different purples and the off white midsole and stuff. I think they're nice, but yeah, shit, 600 pairs is crazy.
Yeah, does everyone get a pair of socks with those 600 pair? Or
I got a pair of socks. I assume so. Like,
I was wondering if that was just like a family and friends thing, or if everyone was going
to
get it.
Remember when they used to do that? They used to do that a lot in like Asia and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I assume they're going to be in all of them. I mean, I've read a few things online about it, and they didn't specify it as a Sneaker Freaker only thing. So
no,
but I mean, 600 pairs, like, that really can't go to more than maybe like 8 to 10 stores, like. Are they even going to be... I thought
it was Sneaker Freaker only online.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
See, then... we all remember what happened with the Shark Baits.
Yeah.
They got checked out in like 3 or 4 seconds, so...
Oh, I know they got checked out in 3 or 4 seconds.
Some of us were lucky to get them. But yeah, look, I got mine through Puma, not through... Well, through Sneaker Freaker, but...
Actually, the Saucony Bushwhackers, I don't think they went to stores, did they?
I'll be honest with you, this is the first pair of Sauconys I've bought, so I didn't pay attention.
I won't lie, they're the same.
Yeah.
So, and I only bought them because they were Sneaker Freakers. If they weren't, I probably wouldn't have bought them.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, same thing. Like, I didn't pick these up at the swap meet where the good people at Sneaker Freaker did let people buy them, but I picked them up just this week. I dropped in and visited and saw the new office and picked them up just because it was a Sneaker Freaker collab. Yeah. Before that 600... thing article turned up, I didn't buy them because of that. I don't want people to think I just went and bought it because of a hype beast. All right, what else you got? Because we got a lot of... Also, this episode is going to go for longer because people have been complaining that it's short. So we've got topics that, like, we'll definitely get
on ranty about. So I don't want to settle too much on the Cushwacker. But you picked anything else?
Yeah, I picked up a lot of things. I got the Pinnacles, the Journal One Pinnacles.
Passed. I just couldn't pull those off.
I wasn't even. I tried and I failed.
Yeah.
And then one just fell on my lap, and I was like, they're gold.
Yeah, yeah. It's 24 karat gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, sparkly. I just.
I like shiny things.
I like all things shiny. So, and I'm Asian, so I just like, all right, cool. I'll take them.
I'll be honest, I didn't want to say it, but it's a super Asian release.
Yeah, it is.
It really is.
It was like it was made for that kid in Asia who likes the snapback fitted with the, and he's wearing all black with like his, now he's in Nike, I mean he's Jordan Pinnacle.
Yeah, definitely. I agree 100%. Yeah.
He'll be wearing a Bape hoodie somewhere inside his
or like
jacket.
Two Shark Bape hoodies. Yeah.
Because one Shark Bape hoodie is like
yesterday. No, it's so played out. Who wears one Shark Bape hoodie?
Fuck, one Shark Bape hoodie just says that I could barely afford this. But two says I'm balling.
Yeah, two says I know what's up.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's funny.
And have you seen the kids that don't just wear one G-Shock watch, but they're like wearing five?
That's dumb. Or three?
Who the fuck decided that?
Oh, like, man. I have not seen that, but that's just another level of stupid. I mean, G-Shocks aren't that expensive. Like, just chill out.
Yeah, but when you got five.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could afford, like, a third of a Rolex.
That's right.
What else have you got?
I got a whole bunch of Air Force Ones at the swap meet.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Shout out to Rave. He's listening.
Ray.
I bought the Year of the Dog samples.
Yeah, sick.
I bought the Yi Wu Jiang. I don't know how to pronounce his
name. Yeah, yeah.
The Scorpion guys. Air Force One World thing that was like a ripoff of a Gucci shoe. I think Nike got really pissed off about that one, and they
recalled it.
And I got the, what was it? Oh yeah, the Dice K One Worlds.
Oh wow, yeah. All right, well this will roll us. I'll cut you off there because we'll keep going through pickups.
Yeah, because I got lots.
Yeah. But we'll just roll into you are. I guess like probably most well known for your affection of Air Force Ones. Like you are the Air Force One guy. I don't know if there's anyone else in Australia that has the love for Air Force Ones that you do.
Andy in Montana Inc.
Oh yeah, he does too. Yeah. Okay, yeah, no, valid point. Yeah. I shouldn't have forgotten that. But I wanted to quickly roll into like maybe why you like the Air Force Ones, and then if you had any favorites, because I've got a list of favorites. And apparently, if we took the year 2005 out of my list, I would have no favorites left.
Yeah, it was a really good year, that 2004. Yeah. I don't know. I kind of think I like the Air Force One because back in the day, I used to wear Timberlands. And Timberlands are kind of like that big, clunky boot.
Yeah.
And the Air Force One really is the big, clunky boot of the of the Nike world, isn't it?
So, it is. Do you wear Air Force 2s or 3s?
Nope.
No? Just ones?
Just ones.
Wow, okay.
I don't actually own a 2 or 3.
Really? I like the Air Force 3. It's just like, you just never see them. It is super military boot-esque.
Yeah.
But I do like that shoe. You just never see it.
But then again, I don't like the the Air Force 1 Luna very much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be like the traditional midsole.
Yeah.
And low, do you wear mids and highs?
I wear lows, mids, and highs, yeah. But yeah. I don't really like the mid because the mid has that strap there.
I hate the strap on the mid.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things as a customizer that just drives you goddamn nuts. Like, for some reason, like, all, like, weekly, people are like, hey, I've got, like, I want, you know, yeah, cool, all right, please, give me work. Yes, what do you want? Oh, I've got this Air Force One mid. It's like, oh, I just hate painting that strap.
It's because everyone thinks like, oh, I'll just get you to paint on this white shoe.
Yeah.
And I want value for money. Let's do the biggest white shoe I can find. And Foot Locker don't sell highs. They only sell the Air Force One mid.
Yeah.
So yes.
I think in preparation for this, I went through my Air Force One collection. I think I had like 14 or 15 Air Force Ones, which was more than I thought I had. But I have none of my favorites, which is hilarious. So I guess we'll just roll into them. I guess for me, like my favorite Air Force One ever is the Stash High.
Yeah.
The like spray can New York tip.
The nozzles.
Yeah. That's my favorite ever. I mean, I hooked up a friend, Brett.
Yeah.
Got him from Sabotage, like way back. Like we did that deal like 6 years ago or something. Yeah. And then they got retroed, but I just wasn't about paying them. Even back then, like in 2005, that was a shoe that was going for dumb money. But that's probably my favorite, I reckon.
Yeah, I don't actually own that one because it's got a clear sole, and everyone that I've seen the sole has gone yellow, so it just looks like you're stepping in piss.
Yeah.
So I'm just like,
welcome to the struggle of having a cleared out sole.
That's right.
So, I know, that's the one thing. I mean, it was cool. Like, you didn't have translucent soles on everything back then, though. So it was a huge selling point, but then it went nasty.
Clear. Yeah. Do you like the blue icy sole thing that they're
doing? No, I hate it.
Yeah.
I think it's too blue now.
Yeah.
Like, the whole point was that it was like you were walking on glass. Now it looks like I'm walking on like stained glass, and I'm not a huge fan. I like gum rubber outsoles.
Yeah, I'm a gum guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think, like, if you're going to go clear, just be clear. Don't be blue. Like, Nike doesn't care. Once they're going to sell anyway, and then it's someone else's problem.
Like, the blue on those Laser 4s that just dropped was ridiculous to me. Like, that was just way too blue. Like, okay, if you're doing it to match a design or something, I understand. Like, if you have, like... So, one of my other favorites is the Ueno release. So if that dropped with a clear pink outsole, I'm not saying it should have, but I mean, like, well, it makes a little bit more sense. But yeah, this whole blue tingy thing, I'm not a huge fan of.
So I guess I don't really have a favorite among the rest, but I guess my top five would be, I guess my most favorite would probably be the linens.
Yeah.
I have three pair. I'd buy four. If I could buy five, I just keep like buying them
till, because they were like six seven something like that, I think.
And they were just Japan only release. So and I know that Mayer is my size, so
he's got all of them,
and he's got like tons of them, so and if they released in Japan, how many can there be? So I'm just gonna buy them all,
especially in our size, right?
Yeah.
Because you're a 10.
No, I'm a 9. I'm a 9.
Then there's plenty for you. That's fine. As soon as you get to like double digits in Japan, you're struggling.
Yeah, yeah.
What else? What else is on the list?
I like the Klotz.
Yeah, the Klotz were honorable mention for me.
I have two pairs of Klotz because I thought like I'd buy, one I'd wear and then I'd like trashed them.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen anyone do it like a good version of it.
Yep. Like, I agree, because it was a big appeal for me too, and then for the same reason. Like, it's almost pointless. I've never seen it done to a point where I'm like, that makes the shoe look better.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so it's not worth doing.
No. So I've got one pair of Klotz in that super ridiculous special box.
Yeah. Oh, you got the special box. Rad.
I'm a sucker for special boxes.
Me too, dude. I bought the Puss Heads originally. I hated the Puss Head SB originally, but I bought it because of the box.
Yeah.
And then, other things as well.
I bought the Year of the Rabbits because it looked like that candy because of that milky candy.
Yeah.
It's a stupid box.
I got something happening at the end of the year which has a box which I'm so insanely proud of, but I can't say much more about it.
And those box things are weird as well, because if you got something in a fancy ass box, do you wear that shoe? Because then if you wear that shoe, what do you do with that box then?
Oh, and like it meant for people like me who keep the boxes, and like that's how I stack my shoes. It messes up a whole stack of shoes as well.
Yeah, it's like the Sneaker Freaker Blaze of Glories.
Yeah,
I'm like every time I'm like maybe I should wear this shoe, and then I'm like. It feels bad to throw away that box, because every shoe that I wear, I just throw away the box.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's such a pretty box.
Well, especially for a photographer like you, like it kind of reminds me of like a camera setup a little bit.
Yeah. So it's like, anyway. So my Klotz, I like the One World Digi camos. Nitrades.
They have 3M in them too.
Yeah, the whole thing's 3M. They were kind of a bitch to find. I like for years just they were either too expensive. There seems to be a lot of Air Force Ones that are in Russia.
Oh really?
Yeah, the Russian dudes seem to have like this monopoly.
Those big sellers, right? What's his name on eBay? The dude.
Oh, like Croatian style?
Yeah. You know what's funny? I will ask you just quickly before I forget. Do you think has the price on average of Air Force Ones dropped with the hype of Jordans and Air Maxes? Like it goes through cycles. Like 2 years ago, I was picking up SBs for cheap as shit.
Yeah.
Like I got a second pair of Puss Heads for like $110, brand new. Whereas when Puss Heads released, you were paying $400 or $500. Has that happened to the Air Force One?
Yes and no. Like. The price, the thing is, the Air Force One price is still they're still marked at ridiculous prices.
Yeah.
But then nobody's gonna buy them.
Yeah. Right. So they just sit there.
They just sit there. Yeah. So like, is that the New York company guy? You know, the On the guy on eBay, there's one that's like...
Oh, I think I know who you mean.
And there's a coolest shoe guy. Like
the cool shoe shine.
Yeah, cool
that
shoe
guy
shine.
That guy had a sample of my Jordan collab somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how he got it, but anyway.
Yeah, he's never going to sell that thing.
No, it's up there for like $3,500 or something, but it makes me look good and I could get less.
It's like, oh, this shoe's
$8,000. Yeah. Because there's no more of them on eBay. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, but if as a collector, like... You know, like all things, you know, you can the seller can put the price, but it's the buyer who has to accept it. Right?
Exactly, absolutely.
So you can say, for example, the Paranormans.
Yeah.
I won the Paranormans from that competition.
You did. Yeah.
Yeah. The first that pair I sold for $4,000. It must have been to a rapper.
Someone famous with dumb money.
This guy was like, "Oh, can you send it to this PO box in New York?" And I was like, "I'm not sending this shoe without like having the cash or whatever, right?"
Yeah.
And he was just like, "Not a problem. I'll send it straight to your account."
Oh wow.
And I was like, "Okay,
dude's got money." Yeah.
So.
no $1,500 like student transfer limit.
No. I could be wrong. It might not be a rapper.
It could just be some rich businessman.
Some Asian kid with three Bay Footies.
Well, didn't Cuddy pick up like three or four pairs of like Air Mags or something? Like, so it wouldn't be surprising. Like,
who knows? Yeah. So that one went, and then I rebought that pair for a grand and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was in Foot Locker and I'm looking at shoes and this kid came up to me, he's looking at my shoes and he was like, "Yeah, I love foams and I really want, you know, a pair of Paranormans, but there's too many fakes."
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, "I have one. I'll sell it to you for $3,500." He bought it.
Holy crap, Paul. What a story.
Yeah.
That's insane.
So I'm just like, "It's yours."
Oh my God. Had you worn them?
No.
Oh my goodness.
I have this rule. I only buy dead stock shoes, but I only sell dead stock shoes.
Yeah. It's like a pain in the ass to sell shit that's worn. Plus, it's like so less valuable. What's the point? Like,
yeah, and I really don't understand that that shoe grading system where everything's 9 out of 10. What is 9 out of 10?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Pads passes dead stock. No, yeah. It doesn't.
No,
there is dog shit on the sole. It does not pass as dead stock.
Passes dead stock would be dead stock. That's it, right?
Exactly. Like, yeah.
What's pass its dead stock? If you put your foot in it and you've walked, well, actually, if you put your foot in it, I don't really. I still call that dead stock. Although some people say it's not.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Because like you buy a shoe in the store, someone might have worn it.
Well, the thing is too, right? You and I were collecting shoes when we used to try them on in stores.
Yeah.
So we're used to that. Like, I have shoes that I've never worn, which are not dead stock because the soles have got dust on them because someone tried them on in the shop before me.
Shit, you know what? I haven't bought a pair of Jordans or anything in a while where I've tried it on in the store.
I can't remember the last shoe I tried on that wasn't a runner.
No.
I can't, like, I just straight 10 everything.
Yeah. Oh, you won't be able to try on runners anymore, like...
Oh, all this Flyknit crap. Like, I like Flyknits, but, like, that is something I did not expect. Like, yeah, okay, it's multicolored, but, like, are people seriously paying $350 for... Flyknit races? Like, are you kidding me? I worked at Nike and we used to clear them out of the factories because no one wanted them.
Haven't they cancelled the racer? The race is dead.
It just does my head in. But,
but I'm just saying the running thing now is retarded. Like, on the weekend I tried to get one of my boys a pair of those Asics Koi things.
Oh yeah.
And I was told,
oh, like more genuine runners. Yeah, I was like, come out
at 6 o'clock, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
I was in Sydney, so I got a taxi out, and I came out, and there was tents, and there were dudes sleeping in cars.
Yeah, it's a whole other level.
This is an Asics runner.
It's the 30th anniversary of Jordan Brand. The decline of Jordan Brand is going to be perfectly synced up once again with the rise of runners.
Yeah,
it's if you don't see it, like you haven't been in it as long as us.
Yeah.
Jordan Brand don't have, in my opinion, too much longer at the top.
No,
and it's Asics and Saucony and Diadora and maybe Puma and hopefully Reebok if they get their shit together. Coming back with the 90s, early 2000s silhouette running shoes. That's because, you know, Roshis aren't what they were a year ago.
But what Reebok runner would you buy? Like, besides for the GL 6000?
I like the Ventilator. The ERS racer's pretty cool. Like, they do have some cool silhouettes, but they'd have to, like, do cool colorways. Like, I don't have, I probably only have two or three. Well, I think I have like three or four ventilators, but yeah, not a lot of Reebok stuff.
But you know what? I'm hoping for the decline of Jordan brand, so I can just buy my J's in peace. I think that's another reason why I like Air Force Ones, in that I don't have to, until recently, don't have to line up or chase.
Yeah. Shoes. We're going to get to this whole too hard to buy a shoe thing later. Oh, it's but
ridiculous.
But yeah, okay. Well, any other significant Air Force Ones?
Air Force Ones. So what have we got? Class. Oh, the One World Touch Ibanez. I really love that shoe. Sick. That shoe I have in a size 11 sample. It's not even my size.
Yeah.
But I just could never find a pair. Like, every now and then one pops up on Yahoo Auctions and it just happened to pop up and I bought it.
Sick.
Yeah.
I have the Puma disc was not too dissimilar for me, where it's like I took me 4 years to find it and I got it and it's not in my size, but like...
Oh, those Goonies? They're not your size?
Nah, it's a size 9.
So it's my size.
Yeah, the problem with that is I think I've hyped it up too much personally. Like, I've been single-handedly promoting that shoe for a year.
Yeah.
And like 4 of them went on eBay in the last month. You used to be lucky to see one a year and they're going for like $500 now. Mm. They were going for like 280 to 320 before.
How do you wear that shoe?
I wear the shit out of it, Paul. It's fine.
What do you wear that shoe with?
I don't know, but I don't care. I don't care. I will feel like a boss with Goonies on my feet. Okay, for me, excuse me. The Year of the Dog is one of my favorites. I also got super lucky when that released. I was on Nort trying to buy the Foot Patrol Air Stabs when they launched. And it launched at exactly the same time. So I just copped them. Like, I wasn't there for them. Like, this was before bots. I just got super lucky. I was up till late at night waiting for the Foot Patrols. And when they came, they were just
You managed to cop two shoe releases at the one time. No chance.
Added them to my cart. Yeah. And I created an account at the same time. Something which you cannot do anymore.
So you added it on and they're like, would you like to create an account?
You're and
like,
I said, yes. I did. I created an account. Yeah. And then for me, the Chamber of Fear LeBron series was sick as well.
Yeah.
The packaging, the posters, the promo, all of it together was just super dope. And it was one of the first Air Force Ones, I think it was like 06, where it had patent leather before the patent leather trend.
Yeah.
Before like the madness of like 07, 08, where Nike went and ripped off Bape after Bape ripped off Nike.
Yeah.
That was a sick release for me.
Do you like patent leather?
No, I hate it.
I don't like that it creases and stuff. Like my wedding shoes are, you know, an Air Force One bespoke and patent leather, and I've worn it once, and I was walking there around that day and I was like, please don't crease.
Actually, I should mention this before we move on. Your bespoke collection is retardedly awesome. It's ridiculous. Like, I think I probably only know 3 people with bespokes. But you have a ton of them, and it's pretty much all Air Force Ones, right?
Well, you can only bespoke
you can,
Air Force
yeah,
One,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So, yeah. Nah, it's insane. I just had to reference that at some point in this, otherwise I feel like I would be doing you and your collection an injustice.
Yeah.
I think that we'll leave the Air Force Ones there because we've been going for a while on that.
Yeah.
And we'll just roll into something that I've talked about before in the podcast, but I know that you get worked up about, and I do too, and that's like, sneaker trends on social media that we hate. So I know you're passionate about a few of these, especially probably being a photographer. It would irritate you more than it would even irritate me. But is there anything particularly? I know we're just gonna roll like this will end up just being like, what about this, but
I'm a photographer. I do this for a living.
Yeah.
My Instagram feed is terrible. If you look at, like, I used to just take photos of my sneakers just with my iPhone. And you lean over, you just take a photo.
Yeah,
and
it's
like,
hard work, man. Whatever. I hate doing that.
But I recently felt so guilty because, like, everybody tries so hard.
I know. Like, I'm not spending half an hour on an Instagram photo, like, of a pair of shoes, unless it's a collab that I've done or something. Like,
well, recently they had that 30 days of Air Force One.
Yeah,
and
you crushed the shit out of that.
You're supposed to wear them on your feet. And I tried. I tried really hard. And I was like, you know what? I don't have the time for this.
Yeah,
like,
exactly, right?
Like, who has
20 minutes in the middle of the day to go and take a shoe picture, right?
Yeah, like, and there's no way you're going to tell me, like, oh, no, I just took this photo.
It's this perfect. Just the lighting and everything's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't I just happened to be standing into, jumping into a puddle, and then my camera went off.
I was about to say, people who stomp in water should be shot.
Why are they stomping in water?
Oh my God, I hate people who stomp in water. It is the most, all that says to me is I have too much money.
Yeah.
Like, it is the stupidest thing in the world. As someone who has shoes that they're trying not to get dirty, to go out of your way and stomp in a thing of water for the potential sake of getting a good photo is just so preposterous. And I don't know when that became a cool thing. Like,
people who stomp in anything, stomp on water, stomp in the mud, stomp on other shoes. Like, there was one stage where everyone was stomping on Yeezys. And they were like, I think these shoes are way better than Yeezys. You own both of them because whose Yeezys did you stomp on?
Yeah, because if you're stomping on someone else's Yeezys, your phone's getting broken.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
man.
It's sort of like, you didn't just stomp it. You probably had a production crew, because who took that photo? Like,
you're obviously standing up straight. You don't have a bent knee.
No.
Maybe he has the like Bluetooth camera fancy memory card. But like,
and you know, every time I take a shoe that's on foot, like, normally I get like one of the guys that I work with to take a photo for me or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I'm just like, I'm thinking, if you normally do, who's doing this? Is your girlfriend doing this?
Yeah, yeah.
And then
one of my favorite Instagram things is guys taking pictures of like girlfriends taking pictures of guys' shoes.
Yeah.
So it's like pictures of someone taking a picture of someone's shoes. That shit makes me laugh. I love that.
Or that photo where the guy's standing there and his girlfriend's like in slight tippy toes.
Yeah, yeah. Men especially should never do a heel lift in a shoe photo.
No, why are you lifting your heel? There is no heel.
I'm not part of that at all.
Or the one where they go from behind and they're lifting up their heel so you can see under the shoe.
Oh man, we don't need to see what the outsole looks like. We can tell by the side of the shoe.
Or the ones where they add CGI to it. I've seen ones with like fucking samurai swords. I saw a photo of grey wolves, the grey wolf flies with fucking wolves in the background. I've seen the Python Air Force One thing with the fucking snake coming towards it.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, it's hilarious. Like, and like, don't get me wrong, if your Instagram feed is like full of that, then like it's fine. But yeah, no, dudes go way over the top. I did the same thing. I used to try and take all the on-foot pictures.
Yeah.
I just hated leaning over like a douchebag and like trying to take a picture. I look at my Instagram feed. It's all in the middle of the road or on my deck out in the back now, because I'm like, screw it. I just want the shoes are really all I care about. Obviously, I wear them. Yeah. So.
Well, Mine are like, mine lately have just been like me putting the shoe on like shrubs and stuff in my backyard or twigs. I'm just like, oh look, there's twigs. I'm just chuck it on it and take the photo.
Another thing I hate is dudes who flex their like car and watches in the photo. Like, you're leaning over and like getting your watch like so low to the ground that it can be in the photo with your shoes.
I have seen one where the guy's got his shoes and he's flexing over with his watch to wipe the rims on his car.
Oh my God, that's like the holy trinity of like douchebaggery.
All the dudes who like go out to car parks and they're wearing their shoes and they're like leaning on their car and a Holden Commodore or something.
Yeah, so, you got a VL Turbo, mate. Like, chill out. Those Yeezys are worth more than your like 86 Commie.
When they're like walking and they've got like the Jesus Pros, like they're the Jesus of sneakerheads, and they've they've come back from the dead just to save us all.
Oh man, yeah, no, it's funny, and it's gotten completely out of control. Like, I mean, for me now, Instagram too. Like, I don't get impressed by shoe pictures anymore. Like,
no.
Back when, in like 2005, 2006, if I saw someone in something that got released in overseas, I would flip my shit. I'd be like, well, I'm literally never seeing the shoe again. How did you get that? That's awesome. But now, like, everyone's got $5,000 shoes. I don't care anymore. Like, I'm not impressed by Yeezys. I'd be more impressed with a Japan exclusive, whatever, Gel Light 3. Like, I don't care. Like, money and expensive shoes aren't impressive anymore. Like, take a picture of something that's 10 years old that you bought 10 years ago. That'll impress me.
Yeah, like, and you got all these guys on Instagram and they've got all this crazy collection, but it's just all like, it's the hype beast of collections. It's like, you don't have a GR, I don't know, MX 90 or anything like that. You've got like,
and people sleep on that, right? Like, people sleep. There's so many good GR releases, like stuff. Like, I worked at the Nike factory. Like, when I got my job at Nike, they asked me to work at Nike Town, and I asked to go to the factory. And they're like, "Why?" And I go, "Because right now there's Easter egg Air Force Ones, Silver Surfer Air Max 90s, and Jordan 17s there. Like, for nothing.
Yeah.
I went there purely to sniper stuff. Like, that's why I got the job there. And people, yeah, you're right. Like, but these kids, they can't catch up. That's what we were talking about before. Like, they can't catch up on 10, 15 years of shopping. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, something for me, like, one of my favorite shoes of all time is the Alcatraz Dunk High, which has, like, stingray skin, wetsuit material, and the three skulls on the tongue tag for the three guys that escaped Alcatraz. Mm. I haven't seen that shoe anywhere for 5 years. The shoe's not really worth anything, but it's one of my favorite shoes ever. Chris, a provider, gave it to me for a discount when I bought it because he thought no one was going to buy them. Like, so, like, things like that in someone's collection, you can only get that if you've been around for a long time. Like, that's the stuff I like seeing. Like, like you say, like, I don't care if you have $100,000 and you decide to spend it on shoes. But, like, just show me something cool.
Like, my favorite SB is actually the Pac-Man Dunks.
Yeah.
And nobody gave a shit about those. Yeah. They were, like, bargain bin. And I was like, oh, Pac-Man Dunks. Awesome.
It's funny when, like, people just don't know, like, what hit factories, man. Like, I got True Blue Jordan 3s for $50. I got Zvezdochka's for like $45. I got the Silver Surfer Air Max 90s for like $100 or $90. I got Olympic Dunk Highs, which are all gold, for like $12. We couldn't sell them. They were 40% off and then like 40% off again. I literally got it for like $12 or $15. They're like $600 online now. Mitter 95s. Like, there's just so much.
Speaking of those True Blues, I got my first True Blue 3s from an athlete's foot in Bendigo.
Yeah. Those were the days.
Because like, one of the boys on the Jordan thread on Sneaker Freaker was just like, apparently there's like a size 9 like True Blue Jordan 3 in athlete's foot in Bendigo. Yeah. And everyone was like, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
So I called up, you know, I called up athlete's foot and I'm like, do you happen to have like this blue Jordan 3? And like, what's a blue Jordan 3? Oh, we have a Jordan here. It's blue. And I'm like, does it have like a weird elephant-y print on it? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, can you just hold it, and I'm gonna drive up to Bendigo, and I just hopped in a car and I drove to Bendigo.
Do you remember that thread? I don't remember a lot of forums. Like, I've been on forums since I was a kid, or since I could get the internet at home, and that thread always sticks out in my mind, because like, I would always be one. I was one of the main people, I think, with like a few others, that would always post like the Saturday afternoon, like, reviews, because every Saturday morning I went to Chapel Street and I did Evolve, Provider, Dakota, Sports Lords, and whatever else there was.
Were you one of the guys that went and said what's at each store?
Yeah.
That was fucking amazing.
Yeah, dude. Like, this is like when you could still go to stores. And I'd be like, hey guys, just picked up the Nort Dunk. Yeah. Chris doesn't think anyone's going to buy them. He's still got fucking 10 pairs. Yeah. Like, yeah, and that was the pinnacle, because like, someone I was speaking to this week suggested that like, I was just having like, he goes, who are you having on? And I'm like, I told him who else I've got lined up, and he's like, you're just getting all Sneaker Freaker crew. I'm like, that's because that's all we had 10 years ago. Like, you want me to like talk to like my friends about sneakers? Like, we were all Sneaker Freaker forum people. So yeah, it is funny. Like, yeah, I was one of those people. And then I used to do the Smith Street Report too. So I'd go to like the Adidas, Converse, Nike factories, and then go and just be like, hey, they got this.
I think that's the saddest thing about the sneaker culture right now, is that everyone buys things by raffle, you know, or online or whatever like that. Most of my shoes that I buy are through basically relationships that I've built over the years through buying stuff. Yeah. I can't build a relationship with a raffle.
No. So this is basically our fourth topic. We've accidentally got to it, which is like, it's too hard to buy shoes now. And like, I'm the same. So in the current state of sneaker scene has like killed the OG, right? Like, it's really killed the OG, because I have a note here. Like, now it's just who has the most cash. It's not who's traveled, who's worked on connections, who's been around a long time. It used to be like, I used to have like reciprocal sort of relationships with people like in France and Japan, where like, maybe they sent me three shoes in a row, but then like, we'd get a whole bunch of stuff down here, which I would send over. Like, so like the Altitude Jordan 13s.
Yeah.
Altitude Jordan 13s, Australia got this like absolutely ridiculous allocation of them, and they actually hit the factory too. But they, I don't know what happened in America and Japan, but they, I reckon I sent 10 pairs over.
Do any Jordans hit the factory anymore?
Nah, only, not even like Team Jordans, man. Like, I mean, literally, like, every signature release. Like, oh, dude, I used to get LeBron 4s, LeBron 3s, LeBron... I got my LeBron 2s at the factory store.
Nobody cares about LeBrons until LeBron 7.
LeBron 2 is the best LeBron 2 by far, and I will fight anyone to the death
LeBron
over that.
LeBron 2 is the best LeBron 2 by far? Okay, fine.
Yeah, it was gone. Sorry, we got, like, a million colorways now. Stuff up. I don't give a shit about Miami Vice color or, like, whatever.
Yeah, why are they still pumping out Miami colors for...
This is when I stopped... I collected LeBrons. I collected 1, 2, 3, 4...
Yeah,
I had like 11 pairs of 4s, and then it went to the LeBron 5, and there was like 32 colours, and I went, screw this shit, I'm not buying any more LeBrons. And that's when I stopped buying LeBrons. I have one LeBron 5, and that's it. Oh no, I got two LeBron 11s because it looked like Transformer should wear them.
Yeah,
and they, I got, so I got the Gamma Blue and the King's Pride, and that was it. But that's it for LeBron since the 4.
The LeBron 11 is actually a really hard shoe to wear.
Oh yeah,
because it's not a high, it's kind of like a, it's not even a mid. It's like a, it's like a low mid.
And the footbed is just so shallow as well. Like, it's really hard to wear. Yeah, I just. Yeah. But anyway, it just looked so dope.
Yeah.
And I got it for half price. So whatever.
I got my Gamma Blue things from the factory, from the employee store.
Yeah,
I think.
So did I. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously.
I think I was still working. I was working there. I was working there.
I think you were standing right next to me. When
I don't think I've ever said on this podcast I used to work there, but yeah, I did.
Speaking of hard, like, even the employee factory is, like, broken now.
Oh, well, look, I tell you, like, I was probably responsible for a lot of that.
Yeah, thanks.
And it's because douchebags used to come in and buy it and go and sell it on eBay that afternoon with the fucking price tag still on the shoe. Yeah. And then the employees get in trouble for it. So, yeah, look, I mean, it isn't... And also, I will say this, people started lining up out the front of the at the front of the employee store on Saturday mornings for releases. I'm a big part of the reason why nobody gets a release at the employees at the factory store now, and I don't give two shits about whether or not people are angry about it. If you work at Nike, you deserve the release, right? So, like, I don't think I'm giving away any information or getting in trouble for, but just say Nike get allocated a certain amount of pairs, which they should, which every brand does. It needs to go to staff and not to dickheads who are trying to line up at the front for half price. Now, look, don't get me wrong. I understand everyone wants their shoes for half price, but that's not what they're there for. And retail, I don't know if any retail complained, but I'm sure they did. Because Kicks 101 kind of have people lining up, like people lining up at Nike to get shoes for half price on release day.
Yeah, well, I guess it doesn't really matter for me anymore because everybody that I liked or I knew at Nike no longer works at Nike.
So, we're all gone.
Yeah, so everyone's gone. So I got no hookups to get there. And to be honest, the past few years, it's been kind of sad anyway. Like, yeah. I remember I could get, there were bin 23 sevens.
Yep.
There, just sitting out there.
Fives too.
The fives just sitting there. And nobody cared. Like, I remember the bin 13s didn't sell out straight away at like Foot Locker. They sat there for like a whole day or a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
The LeBron South Beaches, I don't remember anyone like...
We had so many
bargain,
of them.
But they went to the bargain bin.
We had so many of them when I worked there. I think, I feel like I've worked at, like, I worked at, like, the golden era of Smith Street, and then maybe the same for the employee store.
I don't go to the Nike factory because it's not in Smith Street.
Yeah.
Is that weird?
Yeah. No, dude, Smith Street itself isn't the same. It was, no. Smith Street was the Nike factory store.
Yeah.
I went there from, like, when I was 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah. When I drive by and I see where the Nike factory used to be,
yeah, it's sad.
I get sad. Yeah. I get really sad. I'm like, oh.
Dude, so this is, like, I never told anyone, like, I hope this has been in my podcast, but I got my job at the Nike factory store because I used to go there all the time. And the security guard, Steve, who used to look like Goldberg, absolute legend of a dude, he just goes to me, dude, you're here all the time. And I go, yeah, well, I love shoes. And he goes, why don't you just work here? And at the time, I was at uni, first year uni, and I was working at Target, which is a department store, which you have in America, so I shouldn't have to qualify that. And yeah, I had a job at Nike the next week. Like, that's how it was just because I used to go there all the time. And...
I used to go there because, you know, I'm a first generation refugee and we couldn't afford full price Nike.
Yeah,
I think that's
yeah.
why I buy so many shoes. I'm just buying shoes that I couldn't afford when I was younger. And you know, you go in there, you'd buy them, you'd wear them for a bit, you'd wear them and then you do the, oh, my bubble pop thing.
Oh, dude. That I can tell you, I was in charge of returns for a while, and god damn, my favorite, look, my Smith Street Stories has to be an entire different podcast, and I'll get someone who I worked, I'll get Ray in, because Ray and I worked there together for years.
Oh, really?
Ray trained me when I started.
Is that why you look so familiar?
Yeah, so Ray worked at Smith Street with me, This was about 06 when I started, and I think he left like a year or two after I started, and I stayed for like another freaking 5 years or something. But yeah, so that's why you would recognize his face. But he has great stories. I got great stories. But my favorite person coming in with the air bubble thing was a graffiti kid, and not like a really well-known one, just like a tip rat graffiti kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Came in and he was complaining that he burst his Air Max 90s on the track rocks.
Oh.
And I was like, sorry, buddy. Like, that's, I love that that's what you said right now. Like, because I know where you're coming from, but like, mate, I was there yesterday too. Like, it doesn't, they don't pop Air Max 90 bubbles, mate. So, nah. Yeah. But yeah, we used to have a pair every weekend where people would pop it with a pin.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I used to do assessments, like every second pair that people returned was intentionally punctured.
Yeah. But if you were smart, you just punch it along the line. Like, you know that.
Yeah, but see, I was smart enough to know that, and I could tell the difference. So
I just feel like I was walking and it just popped.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of a big boy, like, you can't just look at me. You just look at me, I'm like, all right, fine, baby.
Yeah.
Give fatty new fucking Air Max 90s.
Oh, man. But yeah, look, and the other thing, like, in regards to shoes getting too hard now is, like, I feel like the relationship you built up with a store owner, like we had with Chris at Provider or the boys at Evolve or whatever, has kind of been replaced by all these Asian kids who have like factory hookups.
Well, you said Asian. I didn't want to say Asian, but yeah, yeah.
Well, like it's a generalization, like, yeah. But it's fairly accurate. Like it's not racist. It's just true. Like they're generally the ones with the factory hookups, and like kids now like flexing on Instagram with shoes that don't come out for 6 months. You're like, they're not fakes. Like pictures haven't leaked yet.
No.
But like these kids have like 15, 20 pairs. It's just, it's absolutely nuts. Well, so like that's taken over, right?
I guess it's even harder now that you can't even, you know, like people, they used to line up for shoes, but now it's a raffle for shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I went into this in my last podcast. I approve of the raffle.
I'm a more of a lineup guy. I don't line up personally, but yeah. I think like, If you want to sit out there for 4 days for a pair of J's, sit out there for 4 days.
Yeah, but it creates an unsafe environment for kids. Mm-hmm. And the average
kid is not lining up.
No, but I mean, if you're passionate about shoes, then you'll never get them either. The thing I like about the raffle is, when
you say kid, what do you mean? Like the
16, 18...
There is no 16 or 18-year-old lining up for shoes. No,
but they should be able to buy these shoes, and that's what the raffle does. 16-year-olds can't line up for 3 weeks.
There is no 16 or 18-year-old on Saturday out there buying shoes either.
There is some, not a lot. That's daddy's money. Most of the guys who are lining up are probably using daddy's money anyway.
Yeah, it's just a whole bunch of kids like with their girlfriends... Like with three tickets, maybe your mom and dad came out as well, and they're just waiting. And
yeah,
that's it.
Like, I'm pretty against. Look what happened in Sydney like 2 weekends ago. Like,
do you? I was up in Sydney and I asked the story about that.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole gun thing. Have you actually heard what the story is about?
So I covered it quickly in my podcast last week.
Yeah.
Based on what I was told.
Yeah.
And what I was told sounds a bit ridiculous, but I was told it from multiple people, two of which were from Sydney and in the area. So I assume it was correct.
Like he pulled out, but when he pulled out the gun,
yeah.
What did he want to do?
He wanted to get in to buy the shoes.
He wanted to get into the line.
Yeah, exactly. He wanted to push in.
How do you put?
As far as I know, Paul, he paid for the shoes after he pulled the gun.
But this is the thing. How do you push in? Like, you pull out the gun and you're like, all right, you move, I'm going to stand here.
That's technically kidnapping, too.
And then he puts his gun back in the... He puts his gun back.
I did, like, because it was... I didn't want to... All these people online were, like, deleting threads about it. And I was like, well, we're not really screwing up a police investigation. So we're only, like, telling what we were told. But as far as I know, he used it to get in to buy his shoes to jump the line. So he as far as I know, he didn't specifically threaten... Look, I don't know shit. I wasn't there. But what I was told was that he didn't specifically go out of his way and threaten anyone or threaten to shoot anyone. He used it as like a bully tactic to get in, at which point they let him buy the shoes.
Look,
and if someone's got a gun, they can buy all the goddamn shoes they want. Because he bought the shoes, which is the stupidest thing in the world. If you've already threatened someone with a gun, take your shoes for free.
I don't understand that. Like, to be honest with you, I have had guns pulled on me. I've been chased 3 blocks by a guy with a gun. Like,
Come on, Paul. I know where you live. Out here.
No,
oh, in the city. Well, on a release. City.
Yeah, yeah. No, so, no, not on a release day. Just
just in general.
Yeah, yeah. But and you know what? It's easy to pull a gun. It's really hard to shoot somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And if you pull a gun on anyone and then you turn your back on them, like, they're going to hit you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. They should anyway.
They're not going to be like, they're not going to be like, oh, okay.
I'll just walk away.
he could just buy those J's. Like,
yeah, so look, moral of the story is, like, I don't, like, we weren't there, but yeah, I mean, that's the reason I like raffles, right? Yeah. Like, that's one of the big reasons why I like raffles. That really can't happen at a raffle. No. Like, in Japan, when I was...
This is the thing that I don't understand is that if I have a gun and I'm pushing into... Why would I push into a line? I'll just wait for the dude to leave. Pick him.
But he's obviously not that bright, Paul. All right, he paid for the goddamn shoes apparently when he had a gun. All right, he should have just taken the damn shoes.
Right,
like,
right. But then, and then
you see the video on Nice Kicks this week about the guy getting jumped.
Yeah,
it's bullshit. I hate this stuff. Like, this is the problem. And but I mean, it's also like you see people now going, well, they should just make, you know, 800,000 pairs. No, they shouldn't. They're making 350,000 to 400,000 pairs of Legend Blue 11s. Dudes are still losing their mind. Stop. Fucking buying them and stop paying reseller prices. Yeah. Like, that's where it's going to stop. Like, you stop selling, paying reseller prices, then the madness will end. But it's never going to end because everyone wants to play.
I never understand the whole, you know, why don't they make more pairs?
Do you not understand basic economics?
Yeah, like, the reason why they don't make scarcity. More pairs is if I flood the fucking market with all these shoes, everybody gets their pair, but then there's all these other pairs that sit on the fucking shelves. And then everyone's like, oh, you know what? Jordan 4s are really easy to get. I don't fucking want any more.
That's
fucking
what
Jordan
it is,
4s.
Right? Like, I remember when Penny 1s came out. Yeah. For 6 months, Penny 1s are on shelves. And my parents wouldn't bloody buy them. And to this day, it shits me up the wall because I wanted Penny 1s so bad. And they bought me Podposites because they didn't want to buy me the full price ones. But the same thing. People were like, oh, Penny 1s. I remember, like, oh, Penny 1s, they're still on the shelf. Penny 1s, like, whatever. You're right. As soon as it sits on a shelf, it's no longer desirable.
Flyknits.
Yeah,
right? When the first Flyknits came out, I had to go to Runner's World in Kew to buy those Flyknits and you know, because there weren't that many, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So and you know, that was kind of funny in itself. I went to the
running store. Yeah,
yeah. And I went to this running store and I'm like,
super specialty store, like, for people outside of Melbourne.
Like, the dude looks like he could run.
They're marathon runners. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
And I go in and I'm like, do you have these Flyknit things? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, what colors do you have? And he's like, he told me the 3, 4. I think it was like there was the Volt green, black, and white. And I was like, yeah, I'll take one of each. Right, and he's putting in the actually he left the store because you know how Runner's World has their storeroom next door. I just assumed because if I stole anything and I try to run, he could run me down.
100%. He could chase you for 10k and be fine.
Even if I hopped into a car, he would just be running after me.
Like 20 minutes later, you're stuck in traffic. Like just...
Except he doesn't bell. But so you know, and he comes back with these fly nets, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. He's like, "Do you want to try these on? Like, do you want to see? You want to walk around, see if you can run in them?"
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I am running in these.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
What are you? Look at me. Like,
I remember I got mine from Nike because I worked there. I remember people going mad for those. That was funny.
But yeah, so he's giving me these things, and he says to me like, "Are these really popular?" And I'm like, "Why?" And he's like, "Cause." Another group of guys came this morning and bought a few as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, and you're looking at me and I don't look like a runner, right? He's like, yes!
Now I can admit that's what I was thinking. Oh, that's funny
and,
as shit.
And you know, everybody wanted them, but now there's like a million Flyknits and nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, well, that's it. You flood them up. And that's been my argument about Jordan Brand for the last 3 years. They've essentially, they're flooding the market only on a lot slower rate. I mean, you and I remember, I mean, like, get True Blues, wait 10 years for True Blues. Like, then all of a sudden, like, bang, bang. They're like, Jordans to me are becoming Air Max 90s. Like, it's like the infrared. Like, okay, maybe I missed the Bred 4s, but I'll get them in a year or two again, so.
I just think there's like a dude in Jordan Brand right now going, no. We're not making any more Jordan 3s. Yeah. You don't get any more Jordan 3s for another...
That was the stupidest thing ever. It's like, I think I might have had a rant about that at some point, but like, why you even had to declare that? Like, do you remember, like, we used to get 3 or 4 colours of a Jordan, and then it would be the next one. And then you wouldn't see the 3 again for 3 years anyway. Why are you declaring it? The only thing that does is force up the price of other 3s.
Yeah.
Like, in the secondary market. Like, yeah, I wasn't fond of that declaration. No. I thought it was completely unnecessary.
I think it's just because nobody bought that that Spurs colorway 3, and they were
the silver one. I painted like 10 pairs of those. I got so many. Like, I think Sabotage and I did our collab on that pair for that reason, because like we could just get it. Like,
yeah, and they were like,
I think we got them off shelf too. Like,
I just like to think there's some guy in marketing, and they were like, these aren't selling, and they're like, just tell them we're not making anymore.
Yeah, yeah, just tell them when there's no more Jordan 3s coming out.
There's no more Jordan 3s ever.
Well, the thing is, like, I mean, like, who really cares about performance Jordans anymore? Like, really, like, I do a little. Like, I try and get one of every Jordan, like, that comes out to wear, because I don't play ball very much anymore, but yeah, like, that really should be the focus.
Well, I don't play basketball at all, so I don't buy Jordans for performance.
But yeah, I guess, like, the other thing for me is, like, the social aspect. It's got better a little bit over the last year or two with, like, the big Facebook groups and stuff. Like, there is people who care, but, like, for me, like,
do you think the people in the Facebook groups care?
There's 10 or 15 particular. We weren't like, oh well, like, yeah, like TKS and stuff. Like, there's 10,000 people in that group, but like there's 20 people in that group that really do care. I know all, most of them.
Yeah, but you said there's 20,000 people in that group, and there's
10,000, whatever.
Well, 10,000, and there's 10 guys that care.
No, look, no. There's obviously there's more than care than that, but like, I mean, the guys who run it really care.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and like, I did this, like, I started the custom sneaker forum, which now no longer exists, because I cared, but people just don't use forums anymore because they're idiots and they just want to socialize on social media.
See, but even in like the kickstand or anything like that, I find that it's still kind of a pack mentality in there. It's like, this kid buys a pair of sneakers or whatever, and the going rate for them now is like, he bought them 3 weeks ago and they were $200.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
now the market rate's like $900, and the kid goes in and says, I want to sell them for $900, and they just like, well, why are you doing that?
Yeah, tear the kid apart. Look, I can't say I didn't used to do that a lot. Like, now that I'm SecureD, I don't internet beef as much as I used to.
Yeah.
But I used to love the shit out of an argument, because I used to essay kids and shut a thread. Like, my favorite thing to do would be essay someone back and just shut it down. Like, just tell them, like, just in two paragraphs why they're wrong and shut down a thread. But yeah, look, things get out of hand in that group, but a lot of people get ejected for that group for just being stupid. I know you cause problems in there a little bit.
I don't even know how many people in that group actually see my posts, because sometimes I'm reading posts, I'm reading like thingies, and there's clearly people who have blocked me.
So yeah.
this conversation makes no sense, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on here.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I still make snarky comments every now and then, but it's actually the only group I'm part of on Facebook now. I had to get rid of all the other ones because I just couldn't handle the bullshit.
Yeah.
Just like, there's just too much negativity and crap and people going, oh, that's another thing I hate, Paul. Don't take pictures of your money and tell me you're going to buy it, like, spend it on shoes. Don't go, I've got 4K to spend. You're a dickhead.
Okay. There's a I have done that once, right? But I did not take the picture of the... Like, what I did was... the reason why I got a pair of Paranormans for $1,500 was because I said to this guy, he had them online listed for, like, $6,000 or something stupid like that. And I said, look, you've had this on there for 6 months. It's never going to sell.
Yeah,
you're never going to sell it, right? And then I laid out like $1,500.
That guy's an idiot.
Like,
that worked.
And I said, I have the money right here. This could be yours.
Oh my God, I can't believe that worked. And you sold them weeks later for $3,500. Oh my God, I hope that guy hears this podcast. Oh my God, that's amazing.
And you know, that is the only time I've ever done it. But yeah, I don't understand the dude to like go, you know, I've got like taking a photo of thing and it's like willing to spend $500. Yeah. It's like, no.
No, man. No, I don't get that. Like, just stop telling people how much money you have. Like, that's the other thing too, right? Like, if you post a picture of all these Yeezys, to me, that doesn't look like 4 pairs of shoes. That looks like $20,000.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So then I go, well, that's a rich kid. So, like, Jesus, if you were a thief in modern day, like, society, goddamn, it would be easy to pick the people to target,
like,
wouldn't it?
Like, you're in my subterranean shoe bunker right now.
Yeah, which I'm not telling people what's down here, but it's bloody amazing.
But and you know, like, I've never... I think I've taken a photo of, like, a quarter of one of the shelves once.
Yeah.
And, like, that was, like, years ago, and I don't do any of that because
this is yours. Like this is the other thing, right? Like I take pictures. This is people like, oh, don't you post pictures on Instagram? Yeah, but that's what I'm wearing that day. I don't go like, here's something I have just for being like the sake of it.
Well, I used to wear. I used to post like my shoes on. On, you know, sites, and then they would end up on like websites like Nice Kicks and things like that. And I don't do it anymore because when you meet people on the street and they're like, oh my God, it's you. And they start doing that fake bow thing.
Well, people did that shit to you?
That's freaky. I can't, like, that's just creepy.
I've been in magazines all over the world, Paul, and no one's done that to me.
You haven't had the fake bow? I've had people do it like in Foot Locker and stuff.
Maybe because I wore a Prowler mask for years. We'll just put it down.
Well,
I'm
telling you, you should bring the Prowler mask back.
I did recently. Yeah. I posted it recently.
It works for Daft Punk.
Yeah, that's why I started doing it. And then I did it. I think the Bloody Beetroot started doing it just after. I was like, shit, everybody's wearing a mask now.
Dead Mouse, all of those.
No, it's like, whatever.
Dead Mouse has a Ferrari. You could have your own Secure D Rainbow Ferrari.
Why rainbow, Paul?
Because have you seen Dead Mouse?
He's got a rainbow.
He painted it rainbow or some kind of fucked up color.
No. I'll paint it like the Joker. Yeah. all right, one quick thing. Like, we're getting towards the end of the podcast. One quick thing. I know you have a couple of pair, and I haven't actually seen them in person. Hendish Schemes. Is that right?
Yeah, the Hendish Scheme.
Okay. Yeah. So I wanted to quickly cover whether or not... See, to me, Hendish Schemes are fakes. But to you, they're not. And to you, a Bapes fake? Like Bapesters?
Well, I don't own any Bapesters, to be honest.
I have like five. To me, Bapesters aren't fake.
Why are Bapesters not fake?
I'm aware, but this is why we're going to talk about this. I'm aware that it's a contradiction.
It's
like,
just an Air Force One with a star on it.
I'm well aware, but I just can't get my head around the fact that Hendish Schemes aren't fakes. Like, they're fakes, right? They're reproductions. Or they're reproductions, right? Like, they're fakes.
Well, all right. The Bape has a star on it, and it's not a fake. It's an Air Force One with a star on
it.
The Hendish Scheme is a fully handcrafted leather shoe that has no air bubble or anything like
that. But it's a direct copyright.
So is the Bape.
No, I know, Paul. I'm having issues with this as well. I don't know why. Like, I don't know much about Hendish Scheme. Maybe you can fill me in a little bit. Do they have a variety of products outside of these shoes, or did they come up on these shoes?
I don't know actually. To be honest, I only know them from the shoes. I know they have the cream and they have all this other stuff, but I think
came up on the
shoes, right?
Yeah, and I don't get how they haven't been pinged on copyright infringement.
Because if it's 10% different, it's not.
I asked someone. Who I don't want to mention in this because I would have to mention him in every episode.
If it's 10% different and you don't refer to it
as
in any way
called?
And you say it's like an homage or whatever the freak it is.
Wait till you see all the toys I'm producing this year, boy. Yep. There's 7 toys coming out this year that I could get pinged IP on. You know, it's funny you mention that because I got one cease and desist letter in all my custom career, and it was on a pair of Iron Man dunks. From Marvel. So.
Marvel don't fucking play. No. Marvel, was this pre-Disney Marvel? Or was this Disney
this was
Marvel?
This was Iron Man 1. So
Disney
Marvel. Marvel.
No, Disney Marvel don't play.
Yeah, Disney Marvel don't play around.
Don't fuck with the mouse.
I did like an Iron Bot and it was fine. And it was obviously Iron Man, but I called it Iron Bot and it was...
That's because you didn't call it Iron Man.
Yeah.
But then, if you notice, Hendish Schemes don't call them, you know, their shoes as Jordan 4. They
obviously,
just call it MP5 or
whatever. Oh, is that what they call it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's... I understand that I'm being like super hypocritical, but like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I feel like Bapes aren't fakes. Like, they're obviously a ripoff. Maybe because I was just such a Bape head in like 2008.
But then it's like those Louis Vuitton shoes that look like
they
ripped off New Balance.
Or
the
Kmart Jordan 3.
Are those things fake or are they just...
I'll tell you what though, if that Kmart Jordan 3 got a cease and desist letter, it was still worth it for the press. When are Kmart shoes ever on the news?
It was
Kmart, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it wasn't. It didn't. It only got pressed because they did that stupid video where they were trying to sell that knockoff Kmart.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so there's a video where they try to sell that knockoff Kmart, like Jordan.
Yeah.
Like Jordan 3, true blue looking thing.
Yeah.
And they said it was like a Jordan sample.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so dumb.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I think Complex did it or something. And
that's incredible.
Yeah, they were in Flight Club or somewhere like that, and they were just selling. And the dudes were like, "Oh, amazing shoe."
I've seen that video, but that video wasn't made by Kmart.
No, no, it wasn't made by.
Oh, so I thought you meant Kmart made a video promoting their own shoe.
No.
Oh, okay, no, I did. I like sneakerheads almost bought fake Jordan 3. I remember seeing that title last week or the week before.
But then again, that's like everything. The reason why we buy Nikes is because of the swoosh. Like, if that shoe didn't have a swoosh in it, you wouldn't care as much. It's why the Yeezy Boost thingy. Nobody really cares as much as.
Isn't it funny? Yeah. Like, you see how much better does the Yeezy Boost look with a swoosh on it? Like, it really does. And it happens a lot. Like, there's a lot of shoes that come out from brands that aren't Nike, and even like other brands that are still big, like Globe or something. And if you put a swoosh or three stripes or a Jumpman on it, people will lose their balls.
Yeah.
But it just like doesn't have that gravitas, I guess is like the word. Like, no. I don't know. But yeah, head to scheme. I don't know. I have had no interaction with anyone from the brand. There's no bias. I don't know. Because I have this argument with people about customs too, right?
Yeah.
Like, because people are like, a custom's fakes. Or, well, technically recons aren't fakes.
How is a custom fake?
Oh, because people are like, oh, they reconned the whole upper and like, it's a fake now. It's like, well, the midsole's real.
You mean like the...
Like JBF and stuff.
Yeah, like JBF.
Yeah. Like I say, definitely not fake.
Have you really thought... All right. So if... This is what I don't understand. So if he gets the shoe, right? He gets a legit shoe and he takes it apart and then, you know,
does his thing,
makes a shoe. It's not fake to me. But then why is it if he gets a fake shoe and he does the exact same thing?
He gets torn to pieces?
Yes.
The midsole. We've had this, like, don't get me wrong. It's okay, so we've had, as customizers, we've had, like, there's a little group of us online where we have an area to communicate where no one else can. It's just... It's like about 80 of us customizers talk. And this has been a debate many times over. And none of us customize fakes. I think it's more just because, like, it's just not an authentic product. The midsole, typically, if you're going to pay $1,000 for a pair of JBF shoes, you don't want the air bubble to burst either, right?
But how is having an authentic midsole and nothing else?
Real, yeah.
Real.
Don't get me wrong. Like, reconners have yelled at me because I've said things in the past. I love what they do. It's you know, I'm not against it. But yeah, look, I mean, it's such a gray area. Like, to me, it's an authentic shoe if you have authentic parts. But if you have fake parts in the shoe, then it's a fake. If a fake midsole, also, as someone who worked for Nike and did fake testing. They don't last, right? Like, you're going to pay $700 for an upper. The midsole's going to crumble after a week.
I've been to Nike factories in China, right? And
authentic or fake?
Authentic Nike. Yeah. Like, and I know that they don't... Like, say, for example, if they say they make 6,000 shoes, they don't make 6,000.
Yeah.
They're making 9,000 or something.
Yeah, and punching the 3,000 out of the back.
Yeah, well, not even that. But the reason why they make surplus is, all right, say I send you 400 pairs or whatever,
yeah.
And then it gets lost in transit.
Oh, sure, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I gotta still make, you know, give you 400 pairs, right?
Yeah, you're still owed 400 pairs. Yeah.
Yeah. So they've got, you know, they've always got surplus pairs, and then that's the ones that get flooded to the grey market.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still made in the factory or whatever, and then you got dudes that are just sort of like, these aren't real, because. You know, I didn't...
Oh, dude, like, we're going to need another whole hour if we're going to do fakes. Maybe we should do another episode in a couple of weeks' time and we'll do fakes as a topic. But that same thing applies to watches. I know the watch game for a long time was messed up because you could get authentic Rolexes for $100 on the black...
No. Watches are a completely different animal because my first Rolex was the James Bond... Submariner 5513, you know, with the bubble back, right?
Yeah.
And to this day, I'm still not sure. I'm told that it may have been a Franken watch. So in the Rolex world, they call certain watches Franken watches, which is when you get authentic parts from different, like, say you've got a Submariner, right? You've got like a whole bunch of authentic parts from different Submariners, and you build a, you know, this Rolex, right?
Hence the Frankenstein reference.
And they're like, it's all legit Rolex parts, but is it a legit Rolex?
Well, then you could say the same thing about customs, right?
Well, it's different because I say no because it would be like me getting a whole bunch of parts and building a Lamborghini. Like, and if they're all legit Lamborghini parts...
Is it a real Lamborghini?
Yeah, is it?
Yes.
Really?
No.
No, right?
It's not. Well, it's not a factory composition. Yeah. Like, it's a restoration project, right? So
but the gray market shoes are different to me because they're made to be like sold as Nikes. It's just the surplus stock, which they're supposed to destroy, but they don't.
Yeah.
Right.
But the problem is, you also have a plethora of factories making legitimate fakes as well.
Yeah,
and then distinguishing which fakes are real or which fakes are fake is a near impossible task online.
You know what I haven't seen much of anymore? In that, you remember how back in the day you would have a shoe would be released, but there'd be like they'd make an earlier batch and then a later batch.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Two and production dates on the shoes. Yeah,
but they were slightly different.
Yeah.
Like I've got the Silver Anniversary Jordan 11, and I know that some of them have clear soles, some of them.
So they used to produce in different factories in different countries.
Yeah.
And they have different production dates, which used to make it a nightmare to try and identify what was real and what wasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, when it comes to fakes, though, my favorite all time was like that period of fakes where like everything got the SpongeBob treatment.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the best. And like they don't really make fakes of customs anymore either. I know a trend in the fake world is that this is a real crossover. Like, is this a fake? They're making like JBF style customs.
I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, so they're like doing like Jordan 4 Python fakes. But the Python skin's Python skin. It's not like not Python skin. So it's like, well, is the midsole real? Do you care? Like, they're still selling for $400-$500, but they're fakes.
Have you seen the levels to that too? Like,
yeah, it's got like Louis Vuitton fakes, right? Like, there's grades.
So you can, there's like the bottom tier, which is like when they glue the leather onto the shoe.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming it's like a. It's like buying a shitbox car. Like, it'll only go for a certain amount of miles before it dies. And then you got like the one tier up where they use better glue, and then you got the last tier, which is where they actually take the shoe apart. Yeah,
it's nuts, dude. Like, and they use. I think I'm up to 14 fakes of my own customs. Like, I mean, it hasn't really been a trend the last 3 or 4 years, but for about 5 years there, like, customizers were the ones getting ripped off because, like, this sneaker thing wasn't as mad as it was. Mm. And if you wanted a cool variation of a shoe, they ripped off customizers. I actually have a pair of my fakes. It's hilarious. They produced them off a photograph. So, consequently, they don't have the medial side design. Mm. They only have the lateral.
How did you get it?
I bought it on a fake website through PayPal, and then I lodged a claim saying the product was fraudulent. I got my money back, but I have the shoes. And PayPal are like, "How do you know it's fake?" I'm like, "Because I'm the artist, and I have the original pair. There's only one in the world. Here's a photo of me and the shoe." And it was like me smiling. And
I've got fake bespokes.
Oh, do you?
Like, there's a knockoff of my very first bespoke.
Holy shit!
Like, in China. And And I really want a pair. just because, you know.
So that's what you do. So that's how I did it. So
I'm just scared they're gonna hack my PayPal account and buy like a plethora of porn or something.
Because people pay for that now. But yeah, so that's how I did it. And it's funny because...
Someone's got to pay for porn, right? Because why would they make it if no one's paid for it?
Oh, well, this could be a whole different podcast. I know a lot about that too. I mean, no, I don't. I don't watch porn. So the lateral is the same as the medial. They just mirrored the design. It's hilarious. Yeah. And they obviously didn't take the time to get it right. But I'll show you sometime. It's funny. When I give talks to school kids on design and stuff, I take the two. Mm. I'm like, this is real and this is fake. But yeah, I guess we'll...
And then
we'll...
you get like some cocky kid and he's like, they're both fake because that's not even a fucking real...
Yeah, and I'll be like, your dad buys your shoes. Shut up, son. I don't see you at Foot Locker at 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to hear anything from you.
He's like, I don't have a dad. My mom buys me shoes.
What's your Instagram name? I guarantee you're flexing in front of a car that ain't yours.
I before Nike IDs were like really prevalent here, I was actually in a subway and a kid's like gone out of his way to like try to stunt on me and said, "Excuse me, did you know your shoes were fake?"
Oh, okay. That kid's a douchebag. Yeah. So as an employee of a sneaker company, I came up with a rule, because you can imagine we used to say a lot of fakes, right? Mm. I never made fun of anyone for having fakes unless they bragged about it. Because for me, if a kid paid $70 for what he thought was a Jordan 11 and that's his money and he earned it and he doesn't have a lot of money, the last thing I want to do is rip that kid to shreds, right? Because that kid probably just thought he got a deal. And although inside I'm like, haha, suck, you know, you sucked in, whatever. I'm like, I don't want to ruin that kid's day. And that's kids. But if that kid came up to me and like, check this shit out, man. Like, I got that. I'll be like, nah, son! And just like, just go off on the kid and be like, I'm ruining your month right now.
Like if the kid like got on a bench, did the heel lift and took a photo for Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, he's like in the factory with his shoe feet up and I'll be in the background throwing up gangster poses. But like, yeah, so that used to happen a bit. Like people were like, hey, check out this like fresh 13. I'll be like, nah, son, that color never came out. And they're like, how do you know? And like, I work for the company, mate. Like, you ain't gonna ask me twice. So those kids I used to make fun of. But yeah, look, I had a kid wearing fakes. I saw a kid in the New York subway, funny in New York, wearing a fake of one of my customs when I was over there in like, when I was there, 2013, for New York Comic Con. I saw a kid wearing Carnage Dunk Lows. I only made two pairs. And they were obviously fake because the pattern was messed up, but it had my name on the side.
Oh, they fucking went all out and they put like your name and shit.
Yeah, yeah. So my name was on the side and everything. He was one platform away. I yelled out to him and he must have thought I was a weirdo. I was late for a meeting and my train was coming like 2 minutes. I couldn't run over there. I thought I got a picture on my phone, but it was like terrible because I had an older phone and the picture quality was terrible. But I legit saw a pair of fakes with my name on it in the subway. And it happened to me again in Thailand. I saw like a fake stall and they had a fake pair of my shoes. So it's happened twice. But yeah, the one in New York, seeing someone wear fakes was a whole nother level. I didn't even care. I was going to send that kid free shit. I was like, let me know what your like mailing address is. Like, non-creeper. It probably sounds super creeper. But like, I would have sent him free t-shirts and stuff. Like, I was like, that's hilarious. But yeah, I only used to like tear kids up if they would brag about it. Because
you know what's the problem? Did you yell across to that kid?
Yeah, that was the problem.
Yeah, you know, you probably said, you know, your shoes are shit.
I was like,
kid's hearing like, show us your tits. And he's like, oh, shit, I'm getting on this train.
Yeah, he's like, what's that Aussie saying? It's like, that Aussie's drunk, isn't he?
That white kid over there is crazy.
No, so I was listening to music because in New York, like people just want to talk to you all the time. I had my music in and I just look up and it's the platform. It's like, you know, 3-4 meters away, and I'm like, holy shit, he's got Carnage Dunks on. I'm like, holy shit, they're fakes. And I'm like, oi, and I like yelled out to him, like said oi like an Aussie, and the kid just like started walking, and I'm like, oh no, I'm like, your shoes, and he's like just looking at me like a weirdo. I was like, oh well.
How did you think that conversation was gonna go? Like,
I was so excited, I did not think about the conversation. It's not like I sat there and went, okay, Matt, this is the best way to approach this. Yeah. The excited 10-year-old in me like exploded and went like, holy fuck, he's wearing fakes in your shoes.
Little boy, right over there.
No, he was the kid was like 20, man. Like, I was like trying to
man, wait there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm coming over. I want to take a picture of your shoes. He's like, yes, son. Yeah, I've seen this on the news. This is New York, mate. I know what's happened. And this was up on like 119th or 120th as well. It wasn't like middle city, so getting close. But anyway, we'll leave it there because we've gone longer than usual.
How long have we gone?
1 hour 10.
Can I just say that your mic is like a giant silver ball.
Yeah, it is. So it's called a snowball mic because generally this mic can be used for a variety of different uses. I bought this because if I ever interview a group of people, I can actually use it for both purposes. We're sitting on couches, so I'm holding it. Yeah. It usually sits on the table in front of me.
Every time I listen to your podcast now, I'm just going to know that you've got balls in your face.
Yeah, one ball. One, you got ball. Yeah, someone's had an accident and they've just got one ball.
One testicle.
Well, I didn't want to sit here with like a microphone. This was purchased to be multi-purpose, but when we're sitting on couches, it looks a little impractical.
Stop lying. Is this because you like shiny balls?
And we'll leave it there. Thanks, Paul.
You're welcome.